Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters edition of the Living in Loserville podcast. And you know, the Living in Loserville podcast really doesn't add up. Not this weekend. Not this week. Even if you throw Gopher football in there, which we do at the end of the podcast, by the way, it really doesn't fit because the Minnesota Vikings won their home opener 28-12, and that 12 came late. They started just wonderfully, right? You get a sack, you get a block punt, just a great way to start the season, no doubt about it. There's a variety of things that my co-host and I will get to. By the way, I am your co-host, Chris Carlson. We got Aaron Miller on the other line. About to bring him in a little bit here. But obviously, the run game and defense, you know, there's a lot of keys to it. But the two keys were run the ball and play hard-nosed defense. And under Coach Zim, that's basically been the formula, right? And it's been a pretty damn good formula. No, it hasn't, you know, won a championship just yet, knock on wood. But that's the formula that he wants, and that's what we got opening day. Defense and running the you-know-what out of the ball. In fact, I kind of felt like it was a throwback to Eagan High School and feed the ball to Matt Chambers, because you got a quarterback throwing 10 times in a game. I remember T-Jack and Ponder throwing 12 or 17 or, you know, really minimal, you know, attempts. I remember that. I remember even 2 years ago with our Lord and Savior for a quarterback who is no longer on the squad. He had like four games under 200. And we thought, wow, okay, run the ball and play defense. But that was crazy. That was crazy. So we're going to wrap it all up. That big, big win. Obviously, you know, we got a variety of keys. You know, Griffin seemed like he had a little pep in his step, which is really big for us. Barr blitzing off the edge. Big day for Harris in the secondary. The roads were closed. Okay, the roads were closed officially. Julio just can't, I guess you'd say, buy a bucket because, you know, that's basically what wide receiver tight ends are now. They're trying to get a rebound over the corner. He couldn't buy a catch barely. In the last four meetings, I got some stats on that. The roads have been closed. Xavier Rhodes has shut down Julio Jones. Luckily, they don't play twice a year. That could affect his money he just got. And obviously, we'll talk a little offense. Offensive line looked really good, except one guy. And then, you know, special teams. We'll talk a little injury stuff, nothing too crazy. We did have a secondary player, though, have a dislocated elbow or arm or something like that. I think elbow. And since the last time we spoke, it was all the way two Sundays ago. And at the end of it, we got cut off. We weren't able to finish our podcast because of my mistake of leaving my power cord to charge my battery at the armory on Saturday night. So it just kind of cut off on us. So we may pick up a little bit there as far as kind of giving our thoughts on what the season's going to be, just to finish off what we're, you know, our thoughts basically. And of course we got to look to this weekend, high noon at Green Bay, same as last year at Green Bay early on. We know how that went. Fun, great game. Thought Cousins was going to bring us back. He did. He did his job in that game, that's for sure. But the kicking game, knock on wood, you know, failed us in that one. So we're going to – why do I have to bring that up? It's just like a Minnesota thing to just bring that up. What in the world am I bringing that up for? But anyway, we're going to preview that Green Bay game, give our takes, give, you know, kind of give our predictions and whatnot, how we think it's going to go. And also – we figure if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, there's at least a small percentage of you that follow the Gopher football program. So at the back end of this podcast, we'll talk some Gopher football. Antoine Winfield Jr. Hey, we can talk Winfield because, you know, that's a Viking Gopher thing. Okay. But Winnie the Pooh Jr., wow, interception in the end zone back-to-back years now. So we're going to get into this Purple People Eaters podcast edition. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, welcome. Thank you. If you guys are kind of catching up from last year, thank you as well. Most of the time, I mean, it's going to stream live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoradio. We either stream it, we're basically recording it now, but it's still going to stream live. It archives right there. It's basically under the Ropeitope Radio podcast is this podcast, okay? And you can find that not just at Blog Talk, but on iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, you can use your Siri and Alexa through TuneIn and Spotify to search the show either through Ropeitope Radio or The Grueling Truth. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betdsi.eu. They got a promo code TGT, as in The Grueling Truth, betdsi.eu. And before we get into that wonderful way to open the Viking season, I got to tell you one thing. And one thing only, go F yourself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It was just a joke. No, but if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have and you're just not that happy, try AT&T Now. It used to be DirecTV. Things merge. It's AT&T Now. No annual contract. In fact, it's got a 7-day free trial. And you could just go right with it if you want to. They start, the plans start as low as $50 a month, HBO included. Like I said, you could stream it anywhere, 7-day free trial. AT&T Now, you should try it on for size. So let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, to see what is on his mind. Like I said, you always like to start the season with a big W. It is tough to beat us at home, especially opening day. How you feeling, my friend, with that nice Vikings victory? And we did it the old-fashioned way, sure, but under Zimmer, if you look at the NFC since he's been here, he has the best record, and that's playing great defense and running the ball down the opponent's throat.
Really is. You know, you got to play great defense, and we have been playing great defense for 2 or 3 years now through Zimmer, and I feel like the next step is bringing in the offense along. And that's been a bit of a struggle for just as many years. So I feel like it was good to see that happen in game one. Now it's game one. We all have to kind of pump the brakes a little bit, but they look good. They look sharp. And they got the running game going, which is what we really wanted to see. And like you said, the 10 passes by Cousins was something that you didn't notice until you found out it was only 10 passes because you just didn't need them. So overall, I thought it was a good performance. And great to be back on the Living in Loserville / Purple People Leaders podcast to start another season of Vikings football.
Definitely. And I'm getting some static. I don't know if it's a tweak of a wire or something, but I'm getting a little static. I'm not sure. I've been tweaking my wires and plugins and kind of making sure. I'm not sure it's on my end. Do you hear some static from my side, sir?
I did right when you began, and then it kind of faded away. Okay. So,
and you know
I'm
what?
Thinking that'll be
it's
the same
faded
thing.
Away. It's fade right when you started talking. It's gone. It is gone. All right, cool. You know, that's probably just that military plane I was telling you about, dude. They're just checking in, just saying, "Hey, how you doing, guys?" Just making sure you know we know you're doing a podcast. Hopefully, they're not Packers fans. But you're right. It is good to be back. No doubt about it. Last week, like I mentioned, my mistake of not having enough juice in the old battery. We just kind of fell off of that show. But thanks for listening to that show, by the way. And like I said, we are back all the way to the Super Bowl. Knock on wood, Super Bowl. That's what we hope to have, the last show with a Super Bowl victory. That would be phenomenal. But anyway, we will be doing week by week, even during the bye week. We'll be doing a week-by-week podcast here. We review, we preview, And we just shoot the shit, you know, Minnesota Viking stuff, Minnesota stuff in general. Like I said, there is a little Gopher talk at the back end of the podcast. Let's get right into it, man. The defense is where you got to start. Not a bad way to start a block punt. I'm just reading off their offensive possessions. Block punt, interception, punt, fumble, punt, end of half, 21-0. Not a bad way to start that game. And, you know, a couple things came out of there. Obviously, we'll talk about Anthony Harris's big day, made two really big plays, and it seemed like our cornerbacks were pretty close to every wide receiver or tight end or, you know, available receiver, either making a tackle right when they catch it or, you know, getting the arm in, being in great position. The defense looked great, especially the defensive line. We know, you know, the the man on the edges, both of them actually are studs. Obviously, the young buck is a stud. But coming into this year, you're wondering just exactly what Everson Griffith will give you. You know what I mean? It's tough to say. Obviously, it's you got to tread lightly on some of this stuff with the mental issues. And he did talk about how certain medication helps him be able to still play and play at a high level, but it doesn't help him with this mental stuff. And he also said, you know, when I do get the right, you know, dosage and medicine, you know, prescription, it has helped me mentally. However, I have an issue giving everything on the field because it takes so much out of me. So you just don't really know what Griff we were going to get, and it's early. It's game one. All the stuff we're talking about, pretty much, we can't go overboard. Obviously, it's game one. This is the NFL week to week. Anything can happen. But it really seemed like Griff had some pep in his step and had that energy back that he was missing when he came back after, what, a month out or whatever, 5 weeks out. He just didn't have it. It's kind of asking a lot for him at that point, but was it just me, or did he seem like he had that little pep in his step back, Aaron?
It really did, and it seemed like all of them did. I know we mentioned on the last podcast the possible rotation on the defensive line, and I was taking a look, and I really did see it. You got to see Hercules in there quite a bit. Holmes was in there quite a bit. So you are seeing that rotation that we thought we would see. Going into the fourth quarter, it seemed like kept everybody fresh, and Griff seemed like he was coming with it. Got a sack, did a nice little spin move on there, and Hunter was coming from the other side. So I thought that overall the defensive line looked really, really sharp and seemed to keep the energy throughout the whole game, which I think is huge for this defense. So Griff looks good. Let's hope he continues to stay that way. And whatever medication he's working or using, I feel like, you know, let's keep going and keep that steady, and we should be good for the season.
Yeah, man. I mean, he just looked like he had that little extra something that he brings to the team, not just on the field, not just the spin cycle, not just off the edge, but in the locker room, on the sidelines. The guy brings so much energy. He is that quote unquote, sure, it sounds cheesy, but emotional leader. I mean, he's one of them. You can't deny that. That's for sure. So that's obviously a good thing to see. Anthony Harris came in last year and showed he could play. In fact, Zimmer was talking about after the game how, you know, Harris is a guy that every time he gets in there, he does something. He shows up. He doesn't get, you know, wrecked or something all the time, you know, to where you'd be like, oh, get that guy out of there. Or the other side's like, yeah, go after that dude. And now he's coming back full-time starter now for the first time. He started last year, sure, but, you know, coming all the way back, he obviously put some stuff on tape, which you never know, you know, like he looked good last year. Well, the defense, you know, the offenses will, you know, from the opponents will look at that and say, okay, he does this good, but can he do that good? And they start to try to find little holes in there. And Harris had a big day, man. He had a really big day. And just to kind of, you know, piggyback off this defensive effort, I mean, right off the bat, Anthony Barr coming off the corner on a blitz, and we talked about this before we started the podcast, there must be some sort of deal in his contract that says I get 6 edge rushes in a blitz. What, it could be a run blitz, that's fine. I just want to come off the edge 6 different times a game. Let me do what I know how to do. And once he if we do that more, Aaron, then he can fake it too. You can fake it, and then he drops back in coverage, as we know. But Harris and Barr, talk to me a little bit about those two. Those two gentlemen had a great day, both of them, and it was just refreshing to let Barr do what he's really good at, because sometimes that opens up your whole mindset and your mentality to where you can do other stuff that they're asking you to do, but you're also like, all right, but you are asking me to do what I'm the best at as well.
To begin with, Anthony, you know, he's been a player that's been kind of seemed like he's out of position for a few years now. He's a tall, basically running a middle outside linebacker in that scheme. And he's forced to cover and do a lot of things and shown that he can do those things, but he wasn't asked to rush a lot. Occasionally he'd get a blitz coming through the inside, but you never really saw him coming to the outside. And I thought that would be a good place for him. I think everybody did. And so then he goes and signs with New York. I'm sure they promised him everything that he wanted there. And then he turns around and comes back here knowing what he's going to get. I thought maybe you're right about some sort of deal in the contract where they could possibly give him new avenues to shine. And so seeing him come off the edge, that first play could be a little bit of show something and take it away, add another wrinkle. Now you know Barr's capable of coming from that position. So then you want to maybe fake it a little bit, like you said, and throw it back. And he played his usual position very well. Like I said, these guys have been together now for going on 5 years. So a lot of it's probably second nature to them. So a lot of like wrinkles they can do. Remember, we did this thing in 2016. Let's do that thing again, you know. So I think it's one of those comfortable things on that defense where people can start to do a lot more. And then moving on to Harris, who had a sensational game. He came up through this team through depth. It kind of makes you a little bit proud to watch him play. We had Sendejo for those first, 3, 4, 5, 6 years now. And he's finally moved on, which allows Anthony to come in and play. And he's always been a guy that's made plays as he came in. He'd get a lot of turnovers. He probably led the team in turnovers just playing off the bench. And so now he's in. He gets 2 interceptions and a fumble recovery, makes all the plays he needs to make and some that he didn't need to make. And you really think, okay, well, this is kind of solidifies that defense. If you have that position covered, now you're looking at who's the weakest link in this defense, and it's very hard to see who that might be. Perhaps Mackenzie Alexander, but he's even played well. And so it's all starting to become this sort of amalgamation of all these players who have been here a while, know what they're doing, you can do a lot of things, and you can move a lot of wrinkles in with the knowledge that they have. So you're going against other defenses who are shuffling guys in and out every year. Right. But these guys have been solid, and that allows the playbook to open. And I think it's going to be a really fun season to watch and see what Mike Zimmer can do with all these different players.
Yeah, and just in the back end of it, that strange sound came back. I guess we're just going to have to deal with it tonight. Maybe I can clean it up later. But you're right. That's a good way to put it. And time again, defensively, the guy just finds talent. You know what I mean? It's just, there's just no way around it. He just finds a way to get the guys in there, whether it's specialty guys, whether it's, you know, a big nickel back or a small nickel back, or, you know, whatever it is, he's going to get guys in there to produce. And when you get them a little bit, get their feet wet, so to speak, it gives them confidence, but also it gets them game time too, right? So then when they do have to step up, it's not like, oh my God, I've never been in the game before. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, he just keeps doing that. And just a little stat. This comes from Adam Patrick on Twitter. The last time the Vikings lost a Week 1 game at home was 2005. Minnesota is also 10-2 in Week 1 home games since 1987. So that's pretty damn good, I'd have to say. Moving on, just kind of putting a bow on the defense before we get to that offense and that smash mouth running game, the demise of a one Xavier Rhodes, the demise of a Xavier Rhodes done as a top tier cornerback has been greatly exaggerated. This guy, now, you know, we all know he's going to be on the sidelines. I mean, the guy's from Florida State. So what's he going to do ultimately? You know what I mean? There's going to be some things that are going to be wrong with him. He's from Florida State. And obviously I say this because we have a little rivalry. You know what I mean? We had a little rivalry going back and forth with Florida State in Miami back in the day. So that's basically what it was all about. But, I mean, Rhodes looked damn good. He was all over the place. Sure, he was gimpy a little bit. But when you look at, you know, everybody's just saying, cut this dude, forget this dude. This dude's this, that, and the other. He's done. 3 catches, 18 yards. 2 of them only came on Rhodes. And overall, even when Rhodes was out and he got that late stuff for that TD, 6 out of 11 targets for 31 yards. That's still damn good. Now, check this out. 2017, 2 of 6, 24 yards. 2015, 5 of 7, 56 yards. As a rookie in his rookie year, or second year. No, rookie year, I think. No, second year. I don't know. 6 of 8, 82 yards. I mean, like I said, thank goodness for Julio Jones that the Vikings aren't in conference, because that could have just messed up his big extension that he got. Xavier Rhodes is not done as a player just yet, folks. He's getting to 30, but cornerbacks aren't like running backs. You know what I mean? Sure, if he gets beat on a play, he's going to limp for a little bit, but he's getting back in. And the guy played hurt all last year and kept getting back in and getting back in. My whole point is, let's not bury Rhodes just yet. But it wasn't just Rhodes. The secondary played great as well.
Yeah, all the death of Rhodes thing. He didn't want to play that last preseason game. I guess that's understandable. Who wants to play that last preseason game? And he didn't play well. And you kind of thought he would bounce back in this game and against Julio Jones, who he always has great games against, thus them putting him on him almost exclusively. And you're right. Like, Jones just can't seem to shake him. And, you know, I guess with Rhodes, you tend to worry about him with a smaller, like Antonio Brown type guys, but he's always held up well, even against like Antonio Brown and those type of guys. So Rhodes is just solid, and let's hope he has a good year again. Like you said, he's healthy at this point, and that makes a big difference. And it's hard to really tell with Rhodes how healthy he is throughout the season, because we just use him constantly. So, you know, it'd be nice to get some of that cornerback depth in there, maybe get a rotation going there as well. But without Hughes and Hill, that's going to be a bit of a hard thing to do for the first few weeks of the season. I don't know when
Alexander,
Mike Hughes will be back. Yeah. I know he's activated, but I don't know how many weeks he is away from playing. Could be this week, could be next week, but we're going to need him coming down the road. And Hill, of course, he's got the 8 games out, but the secondary played well, I think, as a unit. It's all you can ask for, that they hold down. I mean, you want Waynes and Rhodes to be healthy and stay healthy. That'll your 2 top corners, and maybe you can move them in and out with some depth. The guys behind them, what I didn't see a lot of. I thought Chris Boyd was in there for a little bit, and then the guy we picked up towards the end of training camp was in there a little bit, got burnt for a touchdown. But overall, I mean, defense is just sharp, man, and they're playing well from week one, and it's just looking really, really good defensively. And you know, Atlanta's not a bad offensive team, so it's good to see the defense really play well coming out of the gate. And boy, I want to see him against Rodgers. Now, here's the interesting thing. I know we might want to save this until we move on to the Packers, but you know, this is a defense. Not only is it experienced, not only have they been together, but they played Rodgers twice a year. So if anybody knows how to deal with it, I have a lot of confidence in this defense dealing with Aaron Rodgers coming up this week.
Yeah, and, you know, bring Barr off the edge a couple more times. He's just a sheer hand on him can break a rib. So you never know. You just never know. All right, let's we've pretty much, you know, banged our head, I think, on defense. Played really good. By the way, special teams, knock on wood. If you're a Viking fan, you know exactly what we mean. Knock on wood, I'm going to do it again. you know, they play pretty good. We had the punt. Well, they play really good. We got the punt. We blocked the punt. The punter was good. We kicked the ball through the uprights for extra points. Nothing got blocked. We almost blocked another punt. I think the second punt, actually, we almost blocked that one too. So that's good. And by the way, that Vedrick or whatever, did you hear about him with the Jets? That guy we cut, he missed an extra point in a field goal and they lost by a point. So, hey, you know, maybe I'm not all that mad about losing that fifth round pick now. So that makes you feel a little good anyway for 1 week, and that's what it is. It's just 1 week. But as far as offense, the offensive line played great. The holes that were opening were pretty damn impressive. And when you get a guy like Cook and even Mattson, who's got a little shake and shimmy, that little shake and shimmy, him getting outside was pretty damn good. He's not just a short yardage back. This guy is a player. And, you know, we talked about how we got his feet wet, right? You were talking about that corner, Boyd. We actually did get some corners, their feet wet, that young corner, Boyd. But Mattson got his feet wet, actually dove in, maybe not the deep side, but we got him a lot of carries in the preseason, which is key. But when Cook is getting to the second level and you've maybe, like, patted him on the shoulder pad or something like that, it's going to be dangerous. And Zim was even saying how a couple of those, you know, runs were planned on the inside. They weren't there. He busted them out and just beat the edge and made a big, you know, big run that wasn't there for some back. So as far as the offensive line, excluding Elfline, it still seems like he's looking around, looking for somebody. Okay, I just got beat. Can I help somebody else out? No. Okay, shit. My guy just got to the quarterback. It's still looking a little weird. And maybe, just maybe, Brett Jones, who can play guard, is brought back just in case good old Pat doesn't get his stuff together. But Josh Klein, for an offensive lineman, definitely flashed. I really saw him, you know, out in front. They pulled him. Like, he was doing some good things. And, you know, people really didn't credit that as a good signing. I know it's not a guy that was a former number one and he's a stud and we paid him $52 million over 4 years and he's going to protect our block. I know all that stuff. However, when you basically start damn near, like, getting close to 4 years in a row, it's a physical on the line. It is a physical. Sure, you're not running from 20 yards out necessarily all the time, but you do take a lot of punishment on both sides of that line because, you know, after all, it's the gridiron. That's where, you know, the money's really made. He looked really good. He looked really good in, you know, a couple of people, but especially, I'm not going to name names, but at 1500, they had the audacity to even maybe say that Klein may not even be the starting guard at the beginning of the year. Like, they really downplayed this signing as just a garbage, like, whatever. Yeah, we got that. But really, and I'm not trying to blow this up guy in the Pro Bowl, but I heard it time and time again. And he, not just 1500, local media in general, a lot of them anyway. And it just kind of made me scratch my head. Like, dude, he's way better than what we had last year. And anyone that starts 46 games in a row, it's pretty good. I'm pretty sure he has a Super Bowl ring too. Not that he won it, but, like, the dude's pretty good. And it kind of bugged me in the off season as if we didn't secure a pretty good lineman. You know what I mean? Instead of spending all that money like we have in the past, and it hasn't really worked that well, hasn't worked at all, actually, besides, you know, if we draft somebody and give them a fat contract or something. I thought he did really, really well. And before I pass it to you, who would have known that we have a new short yardage running back? It's not Mattson. It's Kirk Cousins. Three QB sneaks in a shimmy in the end zone. Who would have thought that the key to this game was short yardage? You need a short yardage pickup? We got our guy Cousins. Screw it, man. We're going to run option with Cousins. What'd you think of the offensive line? What'd you think of the lightning bolt and the guy that will give you a hit at the end of it like he did in the first half? Cook, another Florida State Seminole, Delvin Cook.
Well, you know, the Seminoles, they produce players. You know, I mean, everybody knows that. I don't know what's been going on with the U lately. You get a player here and there, but Seminoles every year, they're in the draft. They're getting players. Nonetheless, the offensive line, Josh Klein, played very, very well. I think that you're right about Alf Line. That's where the link is right now. I thought Reef, actually, watched him, and he played really well, too. So I think something's going on that line. That's a good thing. They're gelling together. Now it's week one. Let's get to week five and see them gel a little bit more and a little bit more, start to learn stuff. And then the rookie played extremely well. The center, you know, making the calls, doing the stuff. I mean, it's pretty impressive to come from college and get into NFL week one as a center making plays.
Right.
I thought that was really something. Definitely. That might have something to do with Kirk's, you know, yardage there. And you show them the quarterback sneak and then you take it away. It just adds to different things. So I really think that Kirk's going to have a good season. And I hope it's the kind of thing where it's not going to be all him. And it's going to be a lot of running and continue to do that. Now, obviously, they're going to game plan against the run, and Kirk's going to have to throw more. But, you know, you've got the weapons there. As long as you can hold up pass rush and give him a little bit of time, I think that's going to be all right. We'll see about that with a team that's really familiar with us, with the Green Bay Packers coming up. You know, the running backs, you're right, Cook can just fly. And I was even impressed to see the way he ran on Sunday. I knew he was good. I knew he had the ability to do those things, but to see him actually do it's a whole nother thing. And the speed is what really stuck out to me. He's a lot faster than I thought he was. I thought he was fast, but he's a lot faster than I thought he was. I wanted to say during the offseason that I wanted to see him put more weight on because I felt like he had more weight at Florida State. And but maybe, you know, it took a little weight off, might be better for his knees. And then Madison was really impressive too, I thought, because he's not, you know, that short yardage guy, but he runs with power and he's quick enough and shifty enough. He's just, it seems like it's going to be a nice little three back set we have here going forward. Yeah. If the line can hold up and give these guys a chance to run it, I think you got all kinds of matchup stuff you can do with defenses of who's fast and who's not. And you give Cook a sliver and he's gone. So it's really nice to see that. And I just hope that continues. Offensive line looked good. I thought overall the offense looked good, and it was the kind of football that I like. I might be old-fashioned, but I like run the ball first and throw if you have to, and that's exactly what we got on Sunday.
Yeah, that's well put in a variety of ways there, and I like what I see. I mean, there's just no way around it. You know, we had 74 yards pretty damn early. By halftime, we had 120 yards rushing. We ended up with a 172. They got some garbage yards, especially passing, 5.4 average. We'll take that. The only thing, and we did not turn the ball over. Three turnovers on our side, none on their side. The only thing that stood out were obviously the penalties. 11 for 100. Now, is that week one? Sure, could be. Obviously, we've been pretty damn good under Zim. Last year, though, we definitely struggled. Maybe that came down to just our offensive struggling and the defense started wearing down and the time of possession. What was it, like 4 or 5 minute difference from last year, which doesn't seem like a lot, but game clock is a ton. Overall, though, I'm with you as far as let's establish that run. No, we're not going to ever have him only pass 10 times, but I like that we still were able to run and burn clock when they knew we were trying to run and burn clock. So all in all, really can't ask for more. The only really injury is that cornerback, Alexander the Nickel, and he's going to be okay. I think it was a dislocated elbow. Sounds bad, but for football, it's not a broken arm, and you can play with a broken arm, you know what I mean, with a cast. So he'll be okay. He'll be okay. We do have some depth, and hopefully, you know, as the season goes on, like you said, Hughes coming back, hopefully he'll be, before we know it, he'll be a full year removed from the surgery and whatnot. So hopefully he can get in there and start to shine as well. But yeah, man, just a really good opening day. Anything else that you'd like to talk about from the game? Before we move on, obviously, we're going to talk what maybe Josh Doctson can bring. I'm going to bring up some of his stats when he did play with Washington. And then we obviously got to preview this huge, huge Packer game coming up. And for those who care, we're going to talk a little Gopher football to close the show.
Well, where do you want to go to next? You want to go to the Packers? It's Packer week, so there's a lot of excitement in the air, and it's the biggest rivalry we have, although they don't claim us to be their rival. They like to say it's the Bears, but I think we all know Viking-Packer games are kind of where the rivalry sits. It's hard to call a game when you don't really know. Like, Rodgers didn't show a lot against the Bears. They did win that game, but you know, he's kind of the linchpin to it all. And their defense didn't look that strong. I don't know if you caught the game, but they just defensively, they've just don't seem to have, especially in the secondary. It seems like we might be able to get some work done on them. And it's going to be tough to tell what we're going to walk into weather wise. I don't know what I think you said 80s were coming. So that would be nice to have another sunshine game over there. But, you know, it's Packer week. So you got to get jazzed up for that. And I am. If there's two games I watch all season, it's these two games, and get excited about it. You just got to beat the Packers. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that was, that opening Green Bay and Bears, I almost said Bulls, Bears game was the definition of ugly. It was it set football back a good 30 years. It was bad. It was bad. You know, was it just opening week? Was it just, you know, I don't know. It is tough to say. I mean, if you look at the Bears QB, who needs to take a step this year in that game I'm speaking of, just in general, we're not playing him next week, but they're coming, obviously. It looked like he's not going to take a step forward. All preseason, he's been missing guys inaccurate. His accuracy is going to be a problem. He looked really bad against that Green Bay defense. I thought the Green Bay defense actually looked pretty good. They're pretty good from last year. It looks like they're now trying. They claim they're going to take a big step and be like a top 10 defense. And under Rodgers, they definitely haven't had many good defenses. Sure, they have an interception. Rodgers gets you some points. You get up. You start to get some pick sevens with Woodson from chunks of years back and whatnot. But overall, they haven't been known on that side of it. Running and defense has not been their thing. Just slinging the thing around the field has been their thing. As we know, last year, you know, we got down. I think they actually, didn't they score off a block punt? Or they're right there. I think they scored off that block punt last year, didn't they? I believe they did. You know, a game like this generally comes down to turnovers. You know, right now it's a 2.5-point spread. Green Bay is the favorite, but that's basically a pick 'em game. As we know, the over under is set at 45. I like where Vegas put this game at that number. I don't see it as both teams in the 30s like last year. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Like I said, it was a really fun game until we started. Well, I don't even want to get into it. We all know how that game was a tie when it should have been three separate times, not. But they had one time to win it as well and missed one, but not as many as we did. They are still trying to run the ball, though. And if you can't run the ball against our defense, no, we're not the Purple People Eaters the 70s, but we're a damn good defense. And also, the big boy in the middle looks healthy as hell. Speaking of our, you know, we got a lot of big boys in the middle in this conference, and we didn't have our guy last year, and he looked damn good and healthy. That was his biggest thing, is he's just not healthy. Of course, I'm talking about Lindell. And so Joseph down there in the middle, so that was huge to have him back. But I think this is going to be kind of just a grinded out game. You know, it'll come down to turnovers. who takes care of the ball, the red zone, get some points. Okay, you don't get in the end zone, get 3 points, even though that's hard to say as a Viking fan. I'm going to go Vikings, get the W on the road, and I'm going to say, let's see, about 23-17 is what I'm going to say. 23-17. Man, maybe they'll both be in the 26-20. I don't know. Somewhere in that realm, I'm going with the Vikes to move to 2-0 and actually have basically a lead in the division. Well, no, we'd have it because Detroit, you know, they tied last week. They were up. They should have won that game. They ended up tying, so they don't have a win or a loss. But us having two wins, yeah, we would be in the lead. We talked about we didn't get through the schedule last week because, like I said, my battery died. But we know we got to have one of these Green Bay or Chicago games on the road early. That way, you know, the end of the year, we don't have to win back-to-back games to close the year. We probably will have to with Green Bay and Chicago. But this is a pick 'em game. In fact, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, they have the Packers with a 54.9. That's right. They get it all the way down to the 0.9 percentage chance to get the W. There's only a 0.4% of a tie. So you do with, you know, those stats, whatever you want to do. I do think we're going to see more of the play action and have to air it out because they do have a big boy in the middle too.
I like all the things you're saying, and I agree with most of them. I think my score is going to be a little bit higher, but you're right about turnovers, and that's really going to be the key of the game. You can't have any turnovers, and you got to force some. Or if you do turn the ball over, you better get one more turnover from them. Their defense, like I said, I'm not sold on it, but I think it's good enough to stop the run, especially when they're going to be geared up to do that. So you're right. You're going to have to throw the ball around a little bit. And Rodgers is going to have to throw the ball around a lot, I think. Pressure on him is going to be key. However you get it, you may have to blitz him. I know it's dangerous to do that, but I think that you got to find pressure. And if you can't get it with the four, you got to come with some more. You just have to keep him moving, and you can't let him get settled in. Jimmy Graham's come back to life a little bit, so that's not a great sign at tight end. I don't know what they have exactly for running backs. It seems like they got a couple marginal.
Where did he go? Right, Miami. My fault. Just bringing that up.
And then, so I feel like, you know, it's going to be a close game. It always is. I'm going 27-21 Vikings. I feel like we'll get a couple field goals, knock on wood. And hold their defense. Our defense is just a little bit better than theirs. And if they play well, that'll be the tail there. And so I think I'm going with the defense being better, and that's why we win. Whether that's a turnover or just holding them a lot to three and outs, that's going to be it. And get some pressure on Rodgers, I'll feel a lot better about the game. But a win, like you said, has a lot of implications later in the season, as we saw last year with the tie, how that just kind of hung over our necks all year. And you don't want to be a position where the last two games of the season you got to win. It's going to be a tough NFC North this year. And so you want to kind of make sure you take care of business when you get the chance to do it. Could make it an easier season or a harder season all coming this season. I'm not going to call it a must win in week two, but it's a nice win to have. So I'm taking the Vikings 27-21 over Green Bay.
Nice win to have on the resume, no doubt about it. I got a plan. We're going to bring in Hercules, right? Bring in Hercules and say, it doesn't matter, go hit Rodgers. If he has the ball or not, go hit Rodgers. We'll take the 15. Hercules, you're going to have to be out of this game, maybe the second half or the first half of next week too. But it's time to go get Rodgers. Rib cage, Hercules. Rib cage. Okay, anyway, so we're both on the same page. Now let's just – we're going to talk Gophers in just a second. We're going to give it a little 10-minute recap or whatever because we got a whole lot to talk about there in a sense. But we didn't get to finish off. Let's just we're not going to go game to game because we mostly finished that almost. We're so close to finishing it last week, and that's where it cut us off. What's your thoughts on the record within like a game? You know, example, 10-6, 9-6, you know, 9-7, 8-8. You know, where are you at with your prediction for the year? Just so we can, you know, wrap that up from last week.
Been thinking about it, trying not to let Sunday affect my total overall record. I'm going to go with 10-6, 9-7. Probably win the division with that, if not be second, very, very close to that, and possibly get a wild card. So I'm going to go 10-6, 9-7. I think 10-6 will get you a wild card. 9-7, you're on the bubble.
So you've thought long and hard about it, because last week our record, it was, they had a bit, so you kind of rethought it a little bit, because I know I did too.
Yeah, I mean, rethought it a little bit, but I was kind of always in that area of thought. Not going to be an exemplary year like a 13-3, but not going to be an 8-8. So somewhere in the middle there. Plus, I really think the North's going to be tough. Detroit's not really holding up their end. And you're right about the regression a little bit from Chicago, which I saw coming. And, you know, it's week one. They could pick it up. So, but I've kind of all of my predictions as far as the North goes, the Lions are just the Lions. And it's unfortunate. They just were the Lions again on Sunday. It's baffling to see a team like that. I don't know what's going on with that squad. For our whole lives, the Lions have just been that way. I think they've had a couple good seasons and then bumbled up a playoff game or something like that. I remember Barry was the only thing they had for a while. Nonetheless,
Herman Moore,
that was good.
That's all they've got. Jackson too, of course. Or Johnson, Kelvin Johnson. Forget about that stuff.
But yeah, so I really feel like two teams I feel like are going to come out of this, out of the North for the playoffs. Which two teams? I'm leaning more towards Green Bay and Minnesota, but it could be Chicago and Minnesota. But either way, I think we're coming out of the North in one way or another. So I'm going to go 10-6, 9-7 after a little rethought.
Yeah, and I was rethinking too. And people that paid attention last week are probably going, okay, guys, I see what you're doing there. You guys both had us at least 11-5 based off your picks. And that is true. probably. Well, we didn't pick the last two games, so who knows what it would have been or whatever it was, last three games or whatever. But I'm right there with you. I hate to sound like a broken record, but I was right in that 10-6, 9-7 area. Let's move on to the Gophers. Now, the first week, we're not going to talk much about South Dakota State. They didn't show a lot until they needed to show something. They ended up winning. It wasn't pretty, yada, yada, yada. Well, this game was not pretty. Five fumbles, three of them lost. Two of them by the quarterback. The quarterback, we talked about how we just need him to make about two or three plays where it's like, go do that. You got to do something. Get out of the pocket, run, whatever it is. Just make some sort of play happen. And he's done that on the edge, finding a receiver on the scramble and throwing it to him with coverage on him too. So I like what I say out of that just in general. Obviously, we started the game really, really well. We were up 14-3, 14-10 at half, and then it was 14-13. Then it was a fumble. Now we're down 21-14. And this is why I stop it right here, because a 15-play, 78-yard drive, 8 minutes of that tick-tock clock, dude. That is a big, big drive. Unfortunately, we messed up a punt where our player went into the ball and blocked our own guy from free catching it, and that's the reason why they took that momentum. We three it on them, so we're up. We tie the game 21-21, and we three and out. All right, no problem. Cool. Oh, we gave them the ball. They got a touchdown, but we brought it right back and got a touchdown 28-28 on, 11-play drive, which is another just long-ass drive. And Tanner Morgan right on the money to Chris Autumn Bell. And Autumn Bell, you know, hasn't really made his presence felt just yet this year. Had a good rookie or freshman year, I should say. But that catch in the 1 foot in was just disgustingly great. Oh, my God. It was just a wonderful thing to see. Both teams score touchdowns. Now it's 35-35. Unfortunately, we couldn't muster up something beyond a field goal. But then Antoine Winfield comes into play. First play off of that possession, that their possession to either score. If they score, they win. And they go right for the end zone. And Antoine Winfield Jr. comes in and makes a beautiful pick. Once again, not nearly as athletically and crazy as last year. Making the play last year was phenomenal, just like this year. But the way he got in bounce was ridiculous. Go back and watch that play, people out there that forgot about that. But the Winfield Jr., the Minnesota connection, Winfield Sr. is one of my favorite players out there for Vikings, you know, in the history. I just loved that he was 5'8", like a 180, and he could tackle anybody. But what a way to win a game that you had no business, had a bunch of dumb penalties. Sure, P.J. Fleck called some of them hustle, but some of them were just plain dumb. Way too many penalties in general, especially for him. He, you know, look at his track record everywhere, but including here, the penalties have been way down. And the turnovers. But to win this is a game. This is a game that the Gophers lose in the past since we've been born.
You're absolutely right. This is a game that the Gophers lose since we've been born. And we got to ask ourselves now, do we believe in Golden Gopher football? I've been talking about it for a couple of years to you, and you've been talking to people, and everybody's been, yeah, but wait. I know we're two games in, but if you take where this program was before Fleck arrived, although it was in Kill's hands and it did fairly well, I think this is a vast improvement over what we saw then. We look like a Big Ten football team. Now, we haven't gone up against Big Ten, and I thought it might be a little bit easier than I thought, but you went ahead and mentioned the way Maryland's been playing, and you know, they're going to be good as well, but I really feel like this is going to be a great Gopher football year, and we're just trending upward in all ways. And so you did point out the Winfield interception, which I thought was interesting because that was a perfectly thrown ball to that receiver. And I didn't see him coming. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere comes Winfield to pick it off. I mean, that was one of the better passes that quarterback had thrown all day had it not been intercepted by Winfield. And I don't know where he came from, but I was glad he was back there. And this is a huge play for the program and a huge play for Winfield and a huge play for the Gophers. And I hope people don't take that for granted. They got a game coming up against Georgia Southern. That's a wishbone team. We had a little bit of that with Georgia Tech. I thought that was a bit of a precursor to Georgia Southern. So at least they're familiar with playing that. And so I'd like to see the offensive line gel a little bit more. We've got all these great running backs, and we're not getting that run yards that we need. Doesn't look like Rodney Smith's the same back. I hope he continues to improve, but he just seems a little bit timid out there. It's better to have Mo running the football. And tighten up the defense. I mean, defensive line's always going to be a problem this year until we get the big recruits in for next year, which they're already on the squad. They just have to get in and play. And so, yes, building momentum. I think it's a great win. I think it's a surprise. I kind of thought Fresno State might win that game just because we won last year. But then there comes Winfield, changes everything. Yeah. And so now we're moving in 2-0. Going to Georgia Southern, and then we start the Big Ten schedule. I couldn't be more happy with the way the Gophers are playing.
Yeah, and like you said, there's some stuff to clean up, but that's what it's all about. These were two good opponents, and now, you know, you got to not let Georgia Southern get a lead, because when an option team gets a lead, it gets dicey, no doubt about it. And by the way, a lot of people commented, and I'm right there with you on the pass. The pass needed to float a little bit to get it where it needed to get. And a lot of people said, oh, if he didn't float that and he just rocketed in there, that would have been an easy touchdown. It's like, dude, you do realize that Winfield stepped in front of it and comfortably got it. So to me, he was in position. It wasn't, I mean, when you see the back part of the play, he jumped in front of it. Like, it wasn't like we both going for the ball. So if he zipped it a little bit, we don't know if the velocity gets it there for one. And not only that, but he just knocked it down, or maybe it wouldn't end the game, you know, whatever. But it was kind of weird. Like, oh, the quarterback made a horrible, he floated. It's like, I don't know, dude. I saw a good pass and I saw just a great pick. But, I did want to talk about Doxton a little bit. We did sign a big body wide receiver. Pause. He's coming off a 44 catch season for 532. That's actually the most catches he had. Now in 2017, where Kirk Cousins was under center there in Washington, he caught 35 balls for 502 in 6 TDs. If you give us half of that at what we've been getting out of what's his toes, sign me up. I love it. In fact, here's what's so funny. Doxton last year, 532 yards. Laquon Treadwell's entire career, 517. So in 1 year, he's got what he got. No, it's nice because they played together. He's a big body. Like, I don't even want to say his name anymore, but he's produced. Now, he hasn't produced where he got drafted, but I think we're okay at 1-2. I don't know about you, but I think we're okay at 1-2. So I don't think we got to worry about, we're looking for a third and a fourth and just a guy that can make a play one-on-one, whether that's red zone, whether it's for a third down, or whether we just spring it on him on a play action, whatever it is. I think it's an upgrade at wide receiver. I'm really, really happy we brought him in. Is this like, you know, the world's going to change now? No. But it's better than what we had going in. Anything else you want to put a bow on here, sir, before we shut this puppy down?
Just a few things on Docs and piggyback off what you were saying. If he's effective and he learns the system and he's effective as a player, Laquon Treadwell. He didn't want to say his name, so I went and said it. You're going to have an option. So we had Aldrick last year. It was kind of a speed threat and actually ended up, you know, catching some good touchdowns for us. And I think that's what you're going to see with Docs. And also, he's a bigger guy. You put him on the outside, that allows Diggs and Thielen to move in and out of the slot position, which changes sort of the dynamic of everything defensively if you got to going against different slot corners. So I think it adds a little versatility if you need it in three wide receivers, which I don't know how often we're going to be in. That seemed like we were in there quite a bit last game. So I think it adds a lot. If he can come in and be serviceable, which I think he can, he's got a lot of familiarity with Kirk and they know how to play with each other. So that's an added advantage. I think it's a good signing. Let's hope that he gets up to speed quickly and on the field and ready to make plays.
There we have it. Well said. And that wraps up another edition of the Purple People Eaters Living in Loserville podcast. We'll see you next week. Go Vikings, go.